Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship as we continue our study of the book of Revelation, beginning in chapter 9, and we will cover verses 13 through 21. We've titled the study, The Sixth Trumpet, subtitled Destruction. Now we join the study in progress.
But the sixth trumpet, with more earthbound angelic creatures being released, as we saw in our previous studies, and a succession of events that leads to the seventh trumpet. But that seventh trumpet doesn't take place until chapter 11. But here we're seeing the sixth angel. Read that with me, verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Now, over and over, I've tried to remind you that what we're reading in the book of Revelation is very closely related to what you read in the Old Testament. And when you see these things like this golden altar, the first thing that should come to your mind is the temple or the tabernacle. And when you go to, if you want a chapter where it'll lay it out for you, is Exodus chapter 40. Maybe verses 24 to 27, just as a glimpse. I mean, you need to read the whole chapter. But verses 24 to 27, and he put the candlestick in the tent of the congregation. That's a reference to the tabernacle. Over against the table on the side of the tabernacle southward. And he lighted the lamps before the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses, and he put the golden altar. That's what we just read about in Revelation. He put the golden altar in the tent of the congregation before the veil, and he burnt sweet incense thereon. What did we see? Incense rising before the Lord as the prayers of the saints. As the Lord commanded Moses, so we see in Revelation. And here's a little pictorial here of what we're talking about. The golden candlestick here is talked about in the first three chapters of Revelation, the seven churches, and Jesus was in the midst. And down here you see the view of the tabernacle. This is how the tribes, if you notice, there's tents with a standard, which is a flag, for each one of the tribes. And they were told exactly where to stand. And here was the tabernacle itself. And that's the pillar of cloud by day. And there was a pillar of cloud by night. Well, in that tabernacle was this, the golden altar with the four horns. And so now you get an idea of the reference and the imagery. And it says that that voice came from this golden altar. Now look what it says in verse 14. Read that with me. Saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, look closely at what you just read. Four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. That's in present tense. So you ask, right now? And I've told you before in our studies, I believe so. Now, I don't think you don't get a boat and go over there and try to fish them out. But I believe that they, like the creatures that come up out of the earth, are there now. Now, you don't have to believe that, but I believe it. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I say the Euphrates River? We've been fighting wars over there for about, well, if you go all the way back to 90, then this country here is in the news. They're trying to overthrow, what's his name, Assad.
Yeah.
And right over here is Israel. Mm-hmm. And up here is Turkey. Sunday we've been talking about Gog and Magog. Well, here you are, that Euphrates River, right next to the Tigris, runs through Iraq, Syria, up into Turkey. Somewhere along there is what we're talking about. So look what it says now in verse 15 happens when these four angels come out of the Euphrates. Read it with me. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. Now, I believe what it's saying is that they are prepared for this amount of time. This is the amount of time that they are going to, if you add it all up, well, there's going to be a point where they're told to come out of that river, but I think that this is saying that that's how long they're going to be on the earth doing their damage. Here's the funny thing, when you do the math, and I know Matt, you remember we talked about this, and Charlie and Jenny, a few of you, we've talked about this before, but if you take today's round number of 7 billion people on the planet, then when the seals are broken, there'll be a fourth of the population killed, which would be 1.75 billion people. That would leave 5.25 billion alive. Well, then, here in Revelation 9, it's a third. But if you take a third of 5.25 billion, you come up with 1.75. Again. So combined, 3.5 billion people are dead. And this is only two events. That doesn't count all the people who are going to die from the other things, including the waters that will be poisoned and the earthquakes that will cause people to die and that sort of thing. And that will then leave 3.5 billion people on the earth. You say, well, that's quite a cut. There's never been anything close to that. You look, all the wars ever fought combined doesn't even come up to one of those judgments. Now, Jesus said it, you remember? He said this great tribulation would be like nothing mankind has ever seen. And that's an example of it. Now, you do know, by the way, that there are things like the Georgia Guidestones. You ever heard of those?
Yep.
The Georgia Guidestones is down in a little remote area of Georgia where a man who called himself R.C. Christian, which make you think it might mean Roman Catholic Christian, paid to have these stones erected. And on the stones, each side, there is a different language of basically what looks like a new Ten Commandments. And you can read the English side, and it says that the goal is world government, and in order to sustain world government, the population has to get down to 500 million. That means somebody is planning to kill 6.5 billion people. And it doesn't say that it's something they would like to see happen. It's something they plan on doing. Now, who's the they? There's different stories, different claims. The man who erected them took cash, said he didn't ask questions. He erected them on this property, and it's still there. You can go on the internet, do an internet search, Georgia Guidestones, and you can see them for yourself. And it's just, I sat today and tried to think about this. 3.5 billion dead. I know David will know what I'm talking about, but if you read, I know Matt, and I'm not sure about Charlie, but some of you have read a lot about the Civil War. And they just talk about how horrific it was for 30,000 men to die like that in one battle, and then 17,000 in another. And it was just horrible. But did you hear the numbers?
Yeah.
That's nothing compared to what's going to happen. Now, why? I mean, keep that in mind. Why? Well, I got one more bit of information for you before we move on to the why, and that is Revelation chapter 9, verse 16. Now, read that with me. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. Now, 200,000,000 is exactly what it says. You take 200,000 and you multiply it by 1,000, and that comes up to 200 million. Again, there's never been an army of 200 million. The largest army that we know of, that I could find any record of, is the Russian Communist Army, which was 35 million back in the heyday of the Soviet Empire. 35 million. But the reports coming out of China is that China is able to man a 200 million army, a 200 million man army. And that's called the Chinese People's Republic, by the way. So, for the first time in human history, the verse you just read is set to be fulfilled. There's never been a time in human history that there could have been a fulfillment of that passage. People say, well, they've been saying that stuff for years. No, they haven't. This verse, no one ever dreamed you'd see an army of 200 million people. Only in our lifetime can we say that verse could even be fulfilled. You're living in the time. I want to show you one thing before we move on. You see the Euphrates here. Here's Israel. They're going to come across the Euphrates. Here's Iran. What's over here where my finger is?
Afghanistan.
Over here's China. The Bible says that they will cross the Euphrates to get to Israel, and that's exactly the path that China would take to get there. And there's dams already set up, and if they wanted to, they could do it tomorrow. And then, of course, it doesn't matter if there's dams or not. If God wants it to happen, it'll happen. The stage is set. Well, I'll tell you, there's a few things. China is this close from going hungry right now. China also has a disproportionate number of men to women. They will rape their way to Israel. And when they get there, they want women as much as they want anything. And China also is on the brink of economic disaster. So it's not just being hungry. But China has a big problem. They have followed what we would call Keynesian economics. It's what Obama's doing and has been for years, and that is take tax money and pump it into the economy. Well, you can only do that for so long. And China has towns over there. How many of you have seen the specials on TV, the ghost towns in China? They build whole towns and there's no people to live there. They just build it because they gave people jobs to build it, but they're empty. And that is just a recipe for economic collapse. It's estimated that around 200 million profess Christ over there right now, if you add up all the different Christians. And some say that there's only, and I say only loosely, 20 million true Christians over there. Well, I still say they have a lot more Christians in China than we do here in America.
You got that right?
Yeah.
But they also have a whole lot more unbelievers than we do in America because they've got how many times our population. So that's the stage right there laid out. Now let's read a couple of verses. We're going to see how unimaginable this becomes during this time. Revelation 9, read verse 17 with me. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And it continues, verses 18 and 19, read it with me. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. Draw that for me. That's wild. But the third part of men, again, is mentioned as being killed, and it's by the fire, the smoke, and the brimstone. I saw this, and I just thought that's all I think of when I see this stuff. These wild creatures flying around, all this death and destruction, and all of it. But listen, folks, if you don't think that This is just, if you have problems with a God who would do this, you don't understand holiness, and you don't understand sin, you don't understand what happened on the cross, and you don't understand what it means to reject that. God is just in doing what He's doing here. God is holy. Man has sinned and just spits in His face. Just in the last week, look at all the spitting in God's face. England now has gay marriage. The Boy Scouts are now talking about allowing openly gay men, giving an open door to pedophiles to come in and rape our young boys. I will be speaking out and telling Christians you have no business being involved with Boy Scouts if they do that. Shame on you if you keep your kids in the Boy Scouts if they do that. You're a disgrace as a parent if you do that. The sodomites want your children. And you better stand up and be a man and tell them you get your paws off my children. That's what needs to happen. Men with spine. And when you start getting a grasp of the holiness of God and sin, first of all, you'll internalize that. You'll realize, I deserve to burn in hell. And that'll make you that much more thankful for God. And that'll make you praise God even more. That'll make you appreciate His grace even more. You will just want to sing about Jesus all the time. But it will also help you to not be one of these wishy-washy, Laodicean, evangelical, NIV, toting, baby Christians who sit around and say, I just don't believe in a God who would do that. My God's not like that. My God wouldn't do that. My God, well, your God's Lucifer. My God's holy, and He's going to judge sin. And He's going to pour out His wrath on a bunch of God-rejecting, mark of the beast, marked up, rebellious people. And look how bad they are. Read verse 20 with me. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Oh, come on, preacher. I mean, that's ancient stuff. Modern man doesn't worship things that they created with their hands. Oh, they don't? Okay, let's see. Every one of the following pictures you're going to see of idolatry was taken in this century, 21st century, modern man who's so smart that he's stupid. You're getting ready to see it. 21st century devil worship right here on the screen. Number one, India.
Yep.
A hand-carved naked idol, and I mean naked, and those goofballs sitting there eating and looking up at the naked idol with all the anatomy parts right there staring them in the face while they're eating. It's called Vinadara, is what this one's called. Ask Jenny. She can tell you some stories. Some of you may know this stuff. That's a nation of 1 billion people, and they all are into it except for a tiny minority. 1 billion right there. And there you go for your Catholic friends. That's not Mary of the Bible. That's a devil.
Amen.
And you can go down to St. Michael's right here in Worthington, and you can watch those stupid Catholics worshiping a devil.
Amen.
That's right here in the United States of America. So don't make fun of the Indians. The only thing we do is at least cover them up with something. Although the one angel down there, he's got a belly button. I don't know how that works. You seen that? All right. Now we go into Asia. Idols of gold. Did you notice that? Let me show you that real quick. I didn't read it, but the works of their hands, that's a hand-carved. I went to the website that makes them. They sell millions of them. Hand-carved idols. Works of their hands. This, they worship devils. That's exactly what it is. Here it's idols of gold. They're worshiping Buddha. I don't even want to go there, Paul, because that's what I was just telling. I'm not rebuking you, but I'm telling you something. Christians have sanitized idolatry because they equate it with our little sins of, you know, like wanting too much money and all that. Well, yeah, that's materialism. It's wrong. But let me tell you something. We're talking about raw idolatry here. We're not talking about spiritualization. We're talking about hitting your knees in front of an idol. Raw idolatry like they did in the ancient times. And no, we don't cast our children on the arms of Molech. We just butcher them in the mother's womb and call it abortion. Same thing. Hey, they melt that baby's skin. It's on fire, people. We may not be throwing it on Molech's arms, but we're burning that baby alive in the womb. United States of America, modern man, we wouldn't do such a thing. And there you go. Silver and brass. These are Eastern Orthodox. You go to any Greek, Russian, Coptic, Orthodox church, they worship icons. They kiss them. They burn incense to them. And you go to the Greek Orthodox church down here in Columbus, where Father so-and-so, I can't remember his last name, was picked up trying to have sex with a 15-year-old little boy. They replaced him with another priest, and you go into their church, and that's what they do. That's what they call worship. They all walk around in a big incense-filled, smoke-filled room, kissing and worshiping icons.
Did you go there and see it?
Yeah, I've seen it. Sadly, I've got some friends who went into that. Whoa! I didn't think Muslims worship idols. You better believe they do. Do you know every Mohammedite, every Muslim, when he bows down to pray, he faces Mecca?
Yeah.
Do you know why?
The Kaaba.
He's worshiping a stone.
Yep.
There's a big old rock in a big old square building. And you can actually go in there and they got a little hole where you can see it. People reach in and touch it. They claim it.
Yeah.
It was used by pagan Arabs before Muhammad was ever born, and they worshipped it because they believed it came from the moon, and Allah was a moon god. And Muhammad, when he would convulse, foam at the mouth, and have his devil-possessed convulsions, he would come out of there with visions and claim that God sent a 700-winged angel named Gabriel who gave him the Quran. And he instructed his followers to pray toward a rock. A stone. Yeah, well, he got it from just the yeah, yeah. And at first, by the way, his followers faced Jerusalem too. But then in one of his convulsions, he had a vision and said, oh, no, we're going to face Mecca from now on. Because we got a rock there. Isn't that something? Everything I showed you in the text, works of their hands, gold, silver, stone. Man's worshiping all those things. The book of Revelation isn't symbolic unless it tells you it's symbolic. It's literally telling you, end times, this is what's going to happen. Oh, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. That's where your politicians commit idolatry. It's called Bohemian Grove, California. All your presidents. I haven't seen any pictures proving Obama was there yet. But all the other presidents have gone there and taken part in idol worship in California. You got pictures of Eisenhower there, Ford there, Nixon's there, Reagan's there, Clinton's there, Bush Sr.'s there. They all go out there and worship the devil. What you got is right now 6 billion people are worshiping devils. That's now. Right now. You don't think God's gracious and merciful? But folks, that's the 21st century devil worship going on today. And it said, neither repented they of their murders. That's going to that includes already, right now, abortion, infanticide, plain old homicide, but you also have euthanasia. Obamacare is going to start killing people off here in America, but it's already been going on all over the world. And I've shown you examples in the last few weeks. It's going on all over the world. And we were seeing a thing on the health care in England. Everybody said, oh, we want to be just like Europe. No, never a dumber thing in the world for an American to say. You want to be like a European. They're a bunch of disarmed slaves. And their health care is killing them. They didn't repent of their murders nor their sorceries. And that's not just Harry Potter. That is pharmakia. As soon as a kid starts acting up in class, they put him on Ritalin. Totally screws up the firing of the in the brain, and later on, they're diagnosed with everything from all, what is that, Asperger's we talked about, and the autism and all these other things. Which came first, the chicken or the egg there? You look at these people, talk to these people. I was talking to somebody recently whose kid has this dyslexia. They didn't get dyslexia until after being put on Ritalin. Those drugs mess with their minds, and it's not just making it hard for them to read, it's turning them into reprobates. And so you have all these Christians going on all these medicines that are totally messing up their minds. And they're putting their children on those drugs because they don't want to be a parent. And some of them, I'll give them credit, they're naive and they believe everything they're told by figures of authority. But either way, it's still a failure. So they're giving you a mind-altering drug that they found has a different effect maybe on your blood pressure or on your something for diabetes or something like that. And if you look it up, it's the same drug and it's still causing problems with your brain. Still messing with you. And it includes hypnosis, which is you surrendering yourself to another and another's power. And you're opening yourself up. It involves yoga and transcendental meditation. Anything where you are emptying your mind and subjecting yourself, submitting yourself to someone other than God or yourself is a form of sorcery. And all you have to do is do the research and look at the history of witchcraft and the history of Wicca and the history of these Eastern meditation techniques and transcendental meditation, all that. You'll find it all, it's the same thing. It's just to get you to the point where you empty your mind and you open yourself up. And it also says, nor of their fornication, which includes the homosexuals and the adulterers and the pedophiles and the national North American Men Boy Love Association and all these things that are out there. That's all part of that. And their thefts, which is not only some guy holding you up with a gun, but it includes the banksters, it includes the government and their taxes, where they're stealing money by force and taking it and using it to build a new world order. It's theft. All those things. You know, this gets heavy, we get into it. But thank God, you're saved. Yes. You read this, it gets thick, it gets dark. But again, if you understand the holiness of God and sin, and then you understand the price paid by God in the blood of Jesus Christ, and that you are saved by faith in that death, burial, and resurrection, then you can look at all this and you can thank God. Thank God I am saved. Thank God for everyone He saved that you know. Take time in your prayer life. You can't name them all at one time, hopefully, but from time to time, lift people up and thank God. I thank God my mom and dad are saved. I thank God my brother and sister and their spouses and their children are believers in Jesus Christ. I don't agree with them all on theology. And let me tell you something. You may even have some family who are either involved in some of this stuff or go to churches involved with it. But if they are believers in the gospel, thank God they're saved and pray for them to get out. We'll see later in Revelation, come out from among her, my people. Be not partakers of her sins. But thank God for everybody you know is saved. And just pray that the Lord continues to save many right up to the time of the rapture.
This world is not my home.
And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house.
PBFOhioRadio.com